When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Pistol formation. Motion man Mooney. Robinson in the backfield. The throw from Cousins. It's caught at the 40. Moving upfield. Hodge, he could go! 10-5! Touchdown! That is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons!
Unreal Falcons Radio. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I don't know if we were expecting last night's game to be a barn burner, Pearl, but it was divisional matchup. The Falcons end up winning in overtime, and all of a sudden, is Kirk Cousins one of the great last second, drive masters that we have in football? What universe are we in?
You can't make any sweeping generalizations about this game. Kirk Cousins and the MVP talk, Baker Mayfield. I'm telling you, that game, the wind could have blown indoors one way or the other, and the narrative could be completely different. Because that, I've never seen a more coin toss game than that. It's unbelievable. The Falcons came away with a win. We easily could have walked away from last night, Maggie, and said Kirk Cousins blows another primetime game.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield is continuing this renaissance as one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. It's amazing to me how fast things can change in the NFL. This was a barn burner. I think the NFC South is shaping up to be awesome now with the Saints, the Bucs, and the Falcons all just slinging that football around and having crazy games.
Which is nuts because, the first half was just bananas. It was just touchdown, 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 touchdown. So you're getting all this scoring. You're like, all right, I guess we're setting up for something fun here. And then it kind of stalls a little bit coming out of halftime. It's like, all right, defense is catching up a little bit, some untimely penalties, putting these offenses behind the sticks, all of that. But you're at the end of the game. Let's fast forward to the end of the game where this is a tight game. It's a three-point game. And Tampa Bay is leading 30-27. And they come up with an fumble. And you're like, this is it. Okay. You knock the ball. Jesse Bates, right? Knocks the ball. The interception. Yeah. The fumble and then led to an interception. Bottom line is you have a Tampa Bay team that has a three-point lead with under 2 minutes left to go in the game. You've got to salt that game away. And instead, they put together one of the weakest drives. It was awful.
To just defend the Bucs, the officials completely, there was a play, a holding call, knocked them out of field goal territory, basically. And they missed a blatant face mask. So I'm not sure you can kill them for that. Couple things. Just to take a little step back. Okay. Darnell Mooney with the drop, the defining drop of the year. The Falcons receiver wide open, probably would have scored a touchdown to give Atlanta a lead with 6 minutes left in the game. Drops that, and you feel bad for that guy or you feel angry at that guy because he had a great game otherwise, but he kind of cost the Falcons a season. Then you had Lavonte David. Here's my theory. It was 4th and 16. He catches an interception.
Yep.
The ageless Bucs linebacker. He should have dropped that ball. That cost him 20 yards of field position by intercepting it because otherwise it just turns on possession and they get the ball deep in Atlanta territory and just knocking the field goal. And there's no way that Atlanta was coming back and scoring touchdowns.
Oh,
so little things there. And then that drive, you're right. It was a messed up drive. The officials screwed it up. I forget when the fumble came along. But that was a great play. Jesse Bates with the peanut punch. So there were so many little things. Then You mentioned it, the first thing you said to me this morning, the delay of game on their field goal attempt.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, you already have Younghoe Koo, who had missed a field goal earlier in the game. And not only did he miss the field goal, he actually missed it twice because he missed the field goal. But then was there a penalty or a timeout? I can't remember exactly. But they got to re-kick the ball, and he missed it again in the exact same way. So that's kind of in the back of your head, and that was from the first half. But that's from the, in the back of your head, this guy who just had hit 58-yarder. Was that last week? 2 weeks ago. That was last week.
Yeah.
So he's coming off of this super high.
To win the game against New Orleans.
Against New Orleans. And then he's missing, and you're like, oh, no. Is this – are we finally – are we out on kickers now? And, you know
– After one week.
To his credit, he was lining up for a – I have a 47-yarder. They get a delay of game penalty because they thought that the play clock was going to reset because the referees were sort of – I guess I would say
it was
interfering
shaky.
with them being able to line up.
They weren't setting the ball. It was chaos because there was a lot going on. And Raheem Morris, the Falcons coach, said that they weren't setting the ball properly, and the official was still in the middle of the play. So he thought they were going to reset it, cost him 5 yards. But this is the way the NFL works. When you get that penalty, you must, in your head, you got to go, well, now he's going to hit it because that's how things work.
Well, 47 yards pushes it back to a 52-yarder. He drills it. That's what takes the game into overtime. And then it was really just, you know, Falcons get the ball first. Kirk Cousins, again, putting together some really nice throws, and then it was a broken coverage. Wow. A guy slips, basically, and all of a sudden you have Hodge, who had barely played. He's a special teams guy because Drake London had left the game the play before because he got shaken up a little bit after taking a big hit in the middle of the field. And boom, touchdown, game over, Falcons win. Tampa's got to be sick.
Well, Drake London, by the way, the game of his entire life.
Yes,
like, all of a sudden, Drake London arrives on the scene. He gets hurt, and you're like, oh, great. Now Drake London, who's on my fantasy team, is going to be out. And because Darrell Hodge, EJ and I had a debate before the show, it's one of those NFL names you're like, I think I've heard of him, but then I'm not sure I've heard of him. You know, he's been in the league for 5 years. He's had double-digit catches for the Browns and I think the Lions. So it was a great little throw by Kirk Cousins to get him. Perfect spot, and yeah, it was crazy.
You he got carried off the field.
Yeah, I mean, no, he is. There's no reason to feel bad if you've never heard of him. He is not a big time NFL player. There's so many storylines here too, because we had talked all offseason about the Falcons have these weapons. They have Bijan, they have Drake London, they have Kyle Pitts. All you need is Kirk Cousins to unlock all that, and it actually happened last night, which is a miracle to me.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, I thought there was a moment here where this game was starting to turn, especially in the third quarter, where it was either the offensive linemen were getting tired or they were dialing up more defense, or maybe it was a combination of both. And all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield had, like, no time. All of a sudden, they felt like they had just guys in their lap, you know? And then it sort of just loosened up a little bit at the end of the game because of, to be honest, some great defensive plays. You know, you mentioned Jesse Bates punching the ball out. You mentioned the Lavonte David interception. I had not thought that maybe he should have dropped the ball there.
Yeah.
To try to play the field possession game.
Lavonte David, by the way, got a lot of love last night because he's been around forever. He missed some key tackles, and he ain't great in coverage. I'm just saying,
Lavonte David, 40.
Yeah, I know.
It's one thing for a quarterback to be 40. It's another for a linebacker to be 40.
By the way, you talk about the pressure. They had zero pressures the entire first half, Atlanta did, on Tampa Bay. Like, it was the easiest night to throw the football of all time.
Kirk had 250 yards passing in the first half.
Right. I mean, and it was even easier on the other side. Like, basically, Atlanta's defense was a complete no-show for the first half of the game, and it did get a lot harder. If the NFC South is going to be like this all year long, goes from one of the least sexy divisions to one of the sexiest divisions. Like, we never came into this year saying, wow, man, I can't wait to see the aerial attacks of the NFC South.
But now I can't wait to see what Todd Bowles has store for us.
Now it's like sort of it's the wayward home for 30-year-old quarterbacks whose careers have been up and down. So you got Kirk Cousins at 36, Baker at 29, my guy Andy Dalton at 36, and Derek Carr, who knows? No one knows Derek Carr's age. But they're all going to throw. They could all throw for 500 yards at any given night. Crazy.
I'm into it. And how funny was it last night? You know, I feel like we talk about the primetime Thursday broadcast team probably more than any other outside of, I don't know, Romo and maybe Tom Brady. But it's like they kept, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit kept saying, like, man, I can't believe how good this game is.
Yeah, yeah, they were shocked.
Yeah, it's kind of like with you're out with your friends and you're at a bar and you're just like, you know, and you're like, we're having, like, tonight's amazing. You know, you have to keep reiterating to each other, like, I'm having such a good time. This is so great because you weren't, maybe you weren't expecting it or something like that. And it's like you had to wish it into existence. Like,
yeah.
Wow, this game really, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? This game is great.
There was an interesting narrative of the game, too. Kirk Herbstreit rightfully pointed out that Kirk Cousins can't drive the ball at all. Like, it's interesting to me. Kirk Cousins cannot throw the ball hard. It just shows you the brain is the most important physical tool on Atlanta. Like, he was throwing, basically, like, he has no arm strength at all. He cannot throw downfield because of his back leg and the Achilles. And yet, he has pinpoint accuracy on that 9-yard pass in the middle and just chipped down. See, here's the thing.
The ball's coming in with a little bit of zip, though, in the middle of the field.
Well, no, he was right. Like, he cannot, like, he can't throw the ball hard 25 yards down the field.
But,
Herbie, to his credit, pointed out on 6 different throws.
But that wide open Darnell Mooney drop.
Yeah.
That ball was there.
Yeah, no, but it
Kirk
wasn't.
Delivered it. He just Mooney didn't get turned around in time. And again, that would have been an easier way to win the game if you were the Falcons.
But he didn't have to drive that ball. I mean, it was wide open. The guy, there was no one within 30 yards of him. The interesting thing about it, like, can you keep this up? Can you share our pre-show conversation about Kirk Cousins' place in the NFC?
I mean, EJ, it's your thought. I think you should explain it to the people.
I mean, I'm watching him last night throw for 500 yards, and Kirk talked after the game about how he's feeling more comfortable. Is he the best quarterback in the NFC?
But is he even is he better than Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
I thought Baker looked awesome last night.
Well, Baker can run for first downs, too, when things break down.
Baker is good. I'm not here to slander Baker at all. Baker is good. I've seen now Kirk Cousins have 3 miracle wins, legitimately. Not like, oh, okay, it was in the balance. Like, 3 games, they absolutely look like they had no chance to win. They could very well be 0-5, and they're only 3-2 because of Kirk Cousins. And I run down the rest of the NFC. Jordan Love coming back from injury. Dak Prescott, we know who he is. Jalen Hurts is nothing without A.J. Brown, and now he doesn't have Devontae Smith. I'm just running down these names. The 2 guys I kind of pause on are, of course, Stafford, Super Bowl champion, and obviously Jared Goff, who's on a juggernaut with the Lions. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing really good ball when it matters the most, and it feels like he's only getting better. So for me, I'm projecting how the season will go. We're really excited about Kirk Cousins joining the Falcons team. I'm watching Kyle Pitts get 7 catches. I'm watching Drake London running all over the field. This seems like the Falcons offense that was promised in the offseason, and we're only in week 5.
Okay, listen, there were moments last year when I was critical of a certain NFC quarterback, not because he was playing badly, because I asked, was he really deserving of MVP votes? And I got a wave of criticism to leave Brock Purdy out of the conversation. I feel like he's going to get you some haters. I
forgot about that guy, too.
He's pretty good.
And they will come, by the way.
Hell yeah. I mean, I saw that the hard way.
At all hours of the day and night, they will come. The Purdy army. The Purdy people, I call them.
But you can't really say that Cousins is better than Jared Goff right now. You can't say he's better than Dak Prescott right now. They're all the same. They're all Spider-Man. I don't know. Obviously, Goff's way higher than MVP.
Do those two guys make 3 game-winning drives?
Do you know what his stats were coming into this game? They were so mediocre.
Like, I know, but again, I'm talking about winning time. I'm talking about, like, at the end of the day, we're talking about playoff football, December football. We're talking about games that are going to be nip and tuck. These are one possession games. If I have one drive, the only guy I'm maybe even considering besides Kirk Cousins now is Stafford.
But Cousins didn't win against Kansas City in the same exact situation.
Right. I mean, he's been in this situation literally every game.
I mean, but like, you say that too. Also,
it's also Kansas City. I mean, I know they were home. It was in Atlanta.
But also, by the way, they call a flag. He does win that game.
Well, last night, if they call a flag on the face mask, he loses that game. So, again, Kirk Cousins can't be this magical. If Kirk Cousins ends up being the highest MVP vote quarterback in the NFL, I would be shocked. I just don't think he can keep this up.
So, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the NFC, but when I tell you, if you could have given me 1,000 guesses of how this NFL season was going to go, Kirk Cousins' last-minute Mr. Clutch drives, I did not see that coming. And we'll see if they keep it up. They're going to be in tight games. These two teams play again in a couple weeks. I did not see that reframing, I guess, of Kirk Cousins. I think people always thought, you know, system guy, and that's fine, and catchable ball, and, you know, there's the Kirk Cousins love that some of these coaches have, especially from the McVay tree. But I never thought he'd be the captain clutch kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in primetime.
He's totally reversed all that. But then again, It could have gone either way. I'll tell you, watch out for Derek Carr beats the Chiefs this weekend. Then all of a sudden, he's the guy, too. He's on an MVP trajectory as well. Like, I just think these guys are all the same. I guess that's not really much of a take, but it's amazing to me, all four quarterbacks in that division, they're so similar. They all have...
retreads?
They're retreads. And last night, too, you saw with Atlanta, Zach Robinson is like the perfect coordinator for Kirk Cousins. They were scheming open great plays. And Liam Cohen for the Bucs is a revelation. The Bucs offense looks amazing. Can we talk about the Bucs for 1 second?
Sure.
Like, they look really good.
Yeah, but what happened in the second half? Was that Atlanta dialing up their defense?
They knew they had the game won. I don't think for 1 second they thought they were going to lose that game. They were in total control.
Well, then that's a problem. Because, first of all, know your opponent.
I don't know. I think that was a fluke. I can't.
The Falcons scored 10 points in the storm back in the fourth quarter.
Like, yeah, your defense isn't great, but Baker was fantastic.
Where did Mike Evans go? Like that, he had 2 touchdowns in the first half, and then I feel like I barely heard from him in the second half. Was he hurt? I don't think so.
No, I think there are a lot of plays where they were just trying to kill clock and sort of wear the win out.
Okay, these are the drives for the Tampa Bay Bucs in the second half. Punt, field goal, field goal, fumble, punt. Never got the ball back. And that's a terrible second half.
Yeah, but that's definitely not on the offense. You just described 4 drives in the whole second half. Well, why does that happen? Because the defense is not getting off the field, I imagine.
No, but some of these drives, besides the 9-play drive that ends in a field goal that made it, that pushed it to 27-20, that was Tampa having the lead, it was a 3-and-out, 6-and-out, 7 plays. Like, they didn't have any long, sustained drives at all. I mean, 3 minutes, sometimes 2 minutes, no, almost no minutes. Their longest drive was a 5-minute drive. Again, that ends in a field goal. The offense couldn't get anything going.
I don't know. I didn't come away from that game thinking about Tampa Bay's offense. I thought it looked pretty good all night.
Can I also point to you another crazy stat from this game? Do you know that the Falcons ran 30 more plays than the Bucs?
Yeah.
But the time of possession is not so super lopsided. It was 33 minutes to 27 minutes. It's not, we've seen way bigger splits than that this season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Bucky Irving doesn't fumble the ball and one call, I mean, this is a fluke loss. I mean, if you're an analytic person, say you were at Football Outsiders, like you would say, on paper, the Bucs kind of won this game, probably ended up with a higher DVOA in that game, that analytic, the overall analytic. They fumbled. Honestly, if Bucky Irving just wraps the ball harder, then they just goes to the ground. The game is won. There's so many opportunities. They blew this game. I wouldn't take any like huge takeaways about where the Bucs are. They'll win this game 9 out of 10 times.
I mean, yeah, they had a lead. It wasn't that big of a lead. And the Falcons had 477 passing yards to the Bucs 173. This wasn't a 3-score game that, you know, Atlanta just had to. It was a 1-score game, basically, the entire game.
There was, 322 left or something when the fumble happened. They were about to salt away the whole game. Like, Atlanta was not getting the ball back. That was a tragic play.
Oof. What a game. It was a great night last night. If you had a little baseball on as well, you got some happy people around this office. We'll get to that in a minute. 855-212-4227. We pause on Kirk Cousins. Is he the best quarterback in the NFC? Are you surprised by this type of... You can't even say resurgence because he's doing it this and engineering these last-minute drives, and you can tell he's not even 100% healthy. You know, he's still coming off of that Achilles. Still feeling it.
It's so funny. I mean... I think you could accuse us of being caught in the moment with this topic, but I kind of like it. Kirk Cousins done nothing really all year. All of a sudden throws for 500 yards. Is Kirk Cousins the best?
Listen,
best quarterback in the NFC? And you know what? It makes sense.
Well, I'm still sticking by what I said 4 days ago. Tuesday morning when we came in and I said Jared Goff's in the MVP conversation.
So are we just going to
stick by that?
All right, are we going to have a new MVP 4 o'clock on Sunday and then a new one at 7? That's a bit reactionary. And listen, it's the NFL. It's how you do it. It's the best way to go.
855-212-4227. I know we're on in Atlanta. I know we've got a lot of people in the South who are listening to us, Falcons fans. Stand up. By the way, how funny when Ludacris is in the stands. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
Could there be anything more awkward? Like, and there's Ludacris, and nobody says anything. It's like, you guys can't do nothing. No one's got anything to say about Ludacris. You guys have probably met him 100 times. He's at every game.
Yeah.
And they also, go like, bop into the music.
He's in the biggest movie franchise. It's not a Super Bowl franchise that we have. Like, I mean, come on. That should have been easy.
Just say something. I saw him before the game. Shook his hand on the field. Big Falcons fan. And they just go bopping on the field. He goes, all right. So awkward. 855-212-4227. Okay. Lots more to do. Your phone calls on last night's game and Kirk Cousins' resurgence. Let's go. Perloff, this has been the best football season ever. Not just because Kirk Cousins is engineering last-minute drives. It's because you and I finally found Prize Picks. It's the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. It's all about Prize Picks. They've made daily fantasy sports accessible to all.
The app's really simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection. And you could win up to 100 times your money. I took a loss last night, but that's okay. I will be back this weekend with plenty of opportunities. Prize Picks even invented the flex pay, so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. There's a lot of opportunities tonight and tomorrow. I really feel I'm dialed in on college football, Maggie.
Well, the problem is Perloff keeps betting against the Mets. That's your problem. And we'll get to all of that in just a little bit. Download the Prize Picks app today. Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's an individual thing. I bet on Pete Alonso last night. How did you know?
That was a smart move. Prize Picks has got it all. Just got to download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MANDP, MNP, on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're not afraid to overreact here. Maggie has Kirk Cousins as the number one quarterback in the NFC, which actually might be true, but
I said Jared Goff was the MVP 48 hours ago.
You know, I don't have updated odds, but Baker Mayfield, we cannot forget the fact that this guy is awesome right now. It has the same MVP odds as Cousins. And then my guy, I would put a little money, and I heard this elsewhere, he's kind of a popular pick. Derek Carr has sick numbers this year. If he has a big win over Kansas City, who is beat up as all get out, then you could throw him in that mix. Feels like there's a lot of similarities going on here. A lot of retreads.
What did you just ask me in the break? Which division in football has the best quarterbacks top to bottom?
Yeah, I know. This seems silly now that I actually look at it. But you have Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, and Andy Dalton in the NFC South. There really is the only two challengers are the NFC West with Geno Smith, who kind of feels like he should be in the NFC South, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, who's been very ineffective, and Matthew Stafford, who has no receivers. Then you get the AFC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
AFC North, I'm curious what you think about this division. You got the AFC North, Joe Burrow, amazing. Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. Then you go down a little bit, Justin Fields and Deshaun Watson.
No, you can't do this division. It's too much of a drop-off.
Is it, though? Because Deshaun Watson played really well last week. He's kind of back, and Justin Fields is good.
This is a tough exercise because are you going, like, all time? Because technically, the greatest living quarterback we have, well, Mahomes in one, I guess, but Rodgers has got, like, the most, you know, the four-time MVP, but he doesn't look like that right now.
Well, that division has Josh Allen, great. Aaron Rodgers, all right, maybe. Then we go down fast.
Well, if healthy two was there, it's not that much of a free
fall. I don't know. If you put any division with the Patriots quarterback situation in it is not going to be the best.
Man, how much a few years just makes a difference, right?
I mean, you could have three backup quarterbacks and Josh Allen by week 10. I do not trust this division health-wise.
There's a world where if Caleb Williams hits, then Caleb Williams, Jordan Love is our new great quarterback battle of the future with Jared Goff right there.
No,
maybe
no, you're
Sam
right.
Darnold's that, for that real, one. Then this is...
That one's good, too. You're right. Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Jordan Love. Caleb Williams right now brings him down.
Yeah.
He's not going to get a lot of yards. That's good. Oh, man. I don't know if you... This is a long poll question. I don't think it would make any sense. By the way, you could go... What if Jaden Daniels is an MVP? Then you're going to go Dak, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, way to chime in, Giants fan. This is like when kids is like, which one of these things is not like the other?
He's a quarterback.
Tommy DeVito, maybe.
Yeah.
Put him in.
Are we just going to let Perloff just gloss right over what was a stellar, stunning, spot-on rejoin? Whoever was engineering that, I'm assuming that was EJ.
Give that credit to Nick.
The greatest song ever written. And performed
for the greatest team ever put together.
I mean, it's got to be top of the Billboard charts, right? Little OMG, little Jose Iglesias. Perloff, ever heard of him? Get ready, because the Mets storm is coming to Philadelphia on Saturday.
I heard you guys talking about OMG. Is that what that means?
Goodness, I can't even bogus educate this man.
No.
Yeah, no. Seriously, guys, tell me what's going on here.
No.
Is this when the closer comes in and the guys play the trumpets? Is this song?
No, it's definitely not that.
And by the way, blast that song into the sun. No, thank you. I don't like it.
Yeah, because that's a different song. So what's this song? They have two songs?
Not only do they have two songs, they got about four mascots, two songs, and a partridge in a pear tree. Every single thing that a baseball team can use as some kind of rallying cry, this Mets team has gone to.
Even some you wouldn't predict, like an actual rally pimp. I mean, who saw that coming?
Yeah, I know. I left the shirt at home.
Wait, I know. Okay. I know Grimace. I know that you were mentioning the other day that a Hawk Tua girl
Hawk Tua
somehow
girl
evolved to this.
Is on social media with the Mets logo with just Hawk. I was like, okay, Haley, okay. Whatever your name is.
Is Mrs. Met back? Who are the other Mets guys?
Oh, Mrs. Met never left.
Oh, yeah, she
She's
is
not
still
a bandwagoner
there.
Like you.
I saw a mini documentary on Mrs. Met. It was the worst 9 minutes of my life.
Oh, stop it. We'll take your Philly Fanatic and, you know,
dumbest
Gritty.
Dumbest mascot ever was. Hey. Oh, my God. Philly Fanatic and Gritty. One thing Philadelphia does, two things, cheesesteaks and mascots. We are good at that. It's bizarre, but Philly Fanatic's the best mascot of all time.
I got to admit, obviously now we're setting up the Mets and Phillies are going to play each other in the NLDS, which is a very high import to this particular show, with Perloff as the lone Phillies fan here, and the rest of us just surrounded. Perloff's like a peninsula, just surrounded by water of Mets fans, as we all are. But as much as I loathe all things Philadelphia sports, I saw the Philly Fanatic once, and I just gave him a big hug. I couldn't help it. It's something about being in his aura.
He's hysterical. One time he put the Zooter thing on my head. I was like 36 at the time. It was the greatest moment. I made my dad take me to the Philly Fanatic birthday party every year at Veterans Stadium. So they would have, it would be him, and he'd have a birthday party, and all these other mascots would come out of nowhere and give him a cake. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Were you on shrooms?
No, it was,
whoa, yeah, they're, I mean, all Philly hanging Fanatic out.
Definitely. Remember, you guys don't even remember, the San Diego Chicken was like the top of the pyramid. Yeah, what happened to him?
I think he got Me Too'd.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you're kidding me.
I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
He kind of had a Richard Dawson thing going on. No, the chicken. I don't even know who the person was. I'm not slandering an actual person. But,
wait, how can a mascot be Me Too'd? Couldn't they just put another person into the mascot costume?
No. He was kissing chicks in the stands.
Yeah, that was like the whole persona was Jake Earmuffs. I think he would like feel up women and stuff like that. There was something going on with the chicken, but it was all part of the act. It wasn't like
whoever was inside the costume probably crossed a couple mascot
lines. I think they were doing it on purpose, though. It was like part of the bit, like that the San Diego Chicken was this sort of unhinged. We're on in San Diego. Somebody call us, 855-212-4227.
My mind is blown.
Google can't do this. It's too nuanced.
My mind is totally blown. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I hope I'm not off base here.
I'm Googling. I see nothing on the San Diego Chicken. I hope we don't get a defamation lawsuit.
Against a mascot. God, I think I'm okay. Allegedly. Can I cover myself with a few allegedlies?
The first Google return I get says the chicken is recovering from hip replacement that will sideline him until at least 2024. So is that the cover story? Having hip replacement while he's going through some kind of treatment?
I'm surprised they didn't say that he's just trying to spend more time with his family. It's personal issues is what it is. No,
I'm on a Reddit thread. A lot of people say he just got old. But why could they just put a new person, like the Philly Fanatic? It's not the same Philly Fanatic guy.
Yeah, no, it's a different guy.
So why couldn't somebody else become the chicken?
I'm telling you guys, there's something going on here. I think the internet, maybe it's been scrubbed. This is big.
Oh,
this is big tech.
Man, you understand? This is a legend. If we have defamed a legend on this show, I don't know. That's very troublesome to me.
You guys are making me nervous.
He's an icon.
Now there's some people on this Reddit thread claiming he has ties to Communist Party.
I'm backing away.
Deep ties into the Russian intelligence community.
Don't we all now?
Now I'm seeing stories about a legal battle over the person who created the mascot and like the team. So I'm wondering if it's like he's in some kind of like legal purgatory where he can't perform right now.
That makes more sense.
Legal purgatory. We're in a gulag somewhere in Russia. Are we just going to combine both of the stories?
I feel like isn't San Diego Chicken like he's not like a Padre or Clipper or
right? He's
like,
just a San Diego.
Charger. He's just a guy who shows up. Like
okay.
So I assume maybe that makes more sense. That like maybe like one of these teams want to claim him. And he's like, no, I'm for the people. I'm for the city.
Okay. By the way, he was called the KGB Chicken. For some other reason, I think it had something to do with KFC, and that's why people on this Reddit thread think he was a Russian spy.
The KGB chicken, what are you supposed to think?
Yeah, I just have this image of like a dark corner in an alley, and then, like two spies are passing together information, and there's a guy in a chicken outfit peeking his ear around the corner, trying to mix in. Yeah, blend in chicken, and just putting his back against the wall.
Stealth, no one will ever
I mean, I think
it.
We just have a great script. A mascot turned spy would be an amazing movie.
Wait, did anyone watch the show The Americans?
Yeah.
They're two Russian spies pretending to be married in the 80s, and they live in Washington, D.C.
Spoiler alert.
What? Oh, yeah. You figure that out in the first episode. But it'd be like the two chickens are married trying to execute these plans and all these disguises.
What if there was like Mrs. a stealth Chicken. Meeting of the San Diego Chicken and Mr. Matt or something where they're just passing secrets together?
I feel like that's an interspecies thing that I don't want to get into. Mets win. 855-212-4227. Bogus has the rest of the details for
you. From that Mets perspective, the first eight innings last night in Milwaukee were like a prostate exam, but then the top of the ninth sounded like the lady on the bathroom speaker. Francisco Lindor walked, Brandon Nimmo singled, and Pete Alonso made history.
And the pitch hit in the air to right, deep, warning track, and gone.
Oh, Euchre.
Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one.
I would normally say don't break Bob Uecker's heart, but not this time. Pete Alonso with the first ever go-ahead home run in the ninth inning or later of a do-or-die game. Starling Marte adding an RBI single. Then starter David Peterson got his first pro save 4-2. Brewers stud closer Devin Williams gave up Alonso's homer.
It could have been better, but it wasn't the worst pitch I've ever thrown. You know, I wanted to go away with it. I got it there. Good piece of hitting.
So the Mets win a series for the first time since reaching the 2015 World Series. Game one of a divisions of the division series in Philadelphia at 4 Eastern tomorrow.
Did the manager whisper in Pete Alonso's ear right before he got up there, pretend it's a home run derby and actually try to hit it out?
Whatever. Everything that Carlos Mendoza did last night worked. And I'm just so glad.
Not for 8 innings.
Well, I mean, it was like pitching. Yes, you're right. But I guess like the biggest, I don't know if you guys were surprised by this. I was surprised to see Edwin Diaz in the 7th inning. It's like, good. This is the urgency. The season's on the line. If they'd thrown Adam Ottavino there, I think I would have went to sleep.
Did anybody remember, because I was stunned when the bottom of the ninth began and David Peterson was pitching. Yeah. Did ESPN ever show or mention Peterson in the bullpen?
No, he was supposed to be, if they win, the game one starter on Saturday.
Right.
This is a major deal. Like, wait, Diaz was the 7th or the 8th?
7th inning, he got 5 outs.
Right. Yep,
and I thought he was going to come back out, and then all of a sudden Peterson's pitching, and I'm like, where did this come from?
Brilliant.
Sure, but ESPN did such a bad job in this series. I mean, it was bad. All four wild card rounds. But like, how do you not tell me who's in the bullpen?
Yeah, yeah. Bucciambi is great. Like, I think we all love him.
That's all they got.
Yeah.
What's the next year? What is the Phillies Mets on?
TBS, right?
Or Fox. Fox, I believe.
Yeah.
Fox gets NL.
Yeah, and TBS has the AL.
And ESPN's out. That's the end of.
Yes.
Thank God. Yeah.
I believe ESPN continues on radio, though.
Yes, they have the radio. Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
I feel like I feel like they don't do enough games. Like, it feels like they're
ESPN doesn't do enough games.
Baseball
it's
games.
All they
baseball.
Do.
Right. Baseball. I think
so. They need to have a whole regular season.
I don't feel like the duos. I don't feel like have chemistry. I feel like
they change them up, but they do plenty of games, don't they? Do Sunday night and Monday night
but
and Wednesday night.
But that's usually the same crew.
Same crew.
So now you're on four crews.
Okay,
so now you're on four directors, four trucks,
exactly.
Four broadcast pairs.
I hate when they throw together randomness during the playoffs in any sport, even football. I don't
even
like
referee crews.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
just
like
keep
in football
them all together.
When you glom together for an overseas game, some crew that's never worked together, you can tell immediately. You're exactly right.
Yeah, they don't have the resources, but like they don't have the resources or the chemistry or whatever to do four different series and make it seem like, I mean, Doug Glanville saying, hey, this Padres swept the Braves, right? I'm like, they're in the third inning, bro. Like, wait, come on, man. Like, let's go.
But
what are we doing?
ESPN doesn't have the resources. Who does? This isn't like Channel 4 who's going out there trying to produce four games. Like, oh no, this is the leader.
I know, you would think. But, like, again, like, if they have the same teams doing the same games for 162 games, whatever, you know, 40 weeks or whatever. And then you get to the playoffs and you say, all right, four different series. Like, we got to have different people in there. It was bad. And, like, it sucks because these playoffs have been really good. And I just feel like they haven't met the moment. They didn't meet the moment for the NBA Finals. And they're not meeting the moment for the MLB playoffs.
All right. This is unnecessary
bad.
Shot at a former Philly and a great guy, Doug Glanville. Former Penn baseball player,
He's
too.
One of my favorite Phillies ever.
Yeah, he's
fan.
Awesome. He's
Everybody
so cool.
likes Doug Glanville.
Very,
he was rough.
Cool vibe, though.
And I thought...
Always.
I used to like him. I don't know if he was like didn't want this series or he's over the job or something, but like he just seemed uninterested. He had four facts that he just kept spitting out there.
Yep.
Like, how many more times are you going to tell me that Brandon Nimmo's not good in his first at bat in a game? I got it. We're good. But even that, aside from the broadcasting crews, just the broadcast itself sucked. They were making bad decisions. They had bad cuts to things. Like, the ball was in the outfield and you didn't know where it was. In the second game with the Mets, they're doing a dugout interview as the Mets are making the last out of the game.
Wait, was that the Christian Yelich interview that got so criticized?
No, it was they had Garrett Mitchell after he hit the go-ahead home run, but they're talking over the Mets ending the game.
Hey, we don't have time.
This show just turned into Siskel and Ebert. What do we do? Thumbs up, two thumbs down.
Well, this is all my Twitter feed is how bad the broadcast has been.
People are very... territorial about their baseball broadcasts,
totally.
I think.
But
everyone likes their local guys.
I, for some reason, as a sports fan, I do not like the in-game baseball interviews. They make me anxious. I'm always like, they're going to miss something. And I don't get anything out of them. Do you guys like those?
No. I mean, the Iglesias out that they, again, barely got, like, I couldn't believe that we almost didn't see that.
I'm and we're going to see him on at TBS and Fox, too. This is written into their contracts, right? These in-game interviews?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little part of Harloff just died.
I don't like them. I don't know what it is. They just bother me. Am I the only person bothered by this? I guess they're kind of harmless.
The Yelich one was going fine until the inning wouldn't end. And they had to keep him on and keep chit-chatting through a long inning.
Yeah, they should know you can just cut out.
Yeah.
Like, to say, okay, thanks.
Right.
See ya.
We'll let you go now.
Yeah.
Also, I don't need to hear from Christian Yelich. Guy's not playing. Like, what is he going to say that's going to bring any insight?
Meanwhile, the playoffs have been really fun, and I feel like we're going to the immediate negative thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
As no, usual. That's absolutely. Sports. That's what
that's
we
an
do.
Us thing.
Yeah. That's what we do.
It's not a them thing.
Pick apart the details.
One other baseball note, the Reds reportedly hiring Terry Francona as their new manager, this exactly a year after he stepped away from the Guardians job. Not much defense in Atlanta last night. The Bucks and Falcons kept scoring until Kirk Cousins and Kadarrell Hodge linked up for a game-ending 45-yard TD. Just 75 seconds into overtime, the Falcons a 36-30 victory. Cousins throwing for a franchise record 509 yards and four touchdowns.
The narrative on the sideline was, you know, we score a touchdown, game over. And I thought, well, yeah, but you guys are acting like it's easy to go down and score a touchdown. And with the way Red did it, I guess they were right. So, that was fun.
The Falcons now 2-0 in the NFC South, having beaten the Saints on Sunday. The Chiefs placed Rashee Rice on IR yesterday, so he'll miss at least four games. We still don't know much else. They are waiting for the swelling in his knee to go down to do more testing for a full diagnosis. And Caitlin Clark is the WNBA Rookie of the Year, but not unanimously. One person voting for Angel Reese instead. Maybe you're confused by this, like me. I already read this story, I think, last week, but that was the AP award. This is the actual from the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Clark won the other one unanimously, this one off by one vote.
They awesome. Beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
The AP scooped him.
Yep. By the way, can I just, a little tease here? I've never been more excited for a call into the Maggie and Perloff show than one that's on the board right now.
I suddenly feel like I have a lot on the line here. I don't know if I may have slandered a whole a community, a mascot. I may have made a grave error.
Literally the most wonderful city in the world, maybe. San Diego is
it's nothing against them.
Amazing. I know. And I want to go there. I've been there already. I'm planning to go back. Like, I'm nervous now.
All right. Shoot.
We'll get to the bottom
of
this.
We'll
get to the bottom of this.
Okay. We'll get to that in just a moment. I might be in some big trouble here. Stay tuned. All right, we're feverishly doing research in the breaks here to make sure that I didn't totally slander the San Diego chicken. We were wondering, where did this mascot go? And I thought he got Me Too'd. I thought there was something about his act. Not the person, not the real person, like the concept. I thought the chicken was kind of like, you know, loose with the ladies, like lots of kisses and stuff like that. And so I made a joke. But Clint is in San Diego. Clint, save me. Am I wrong about this?
Hi, how's it going? Yeah, he's just old. He's like 78, 80. And he's the guy that owns the mascot outright. The Padres don't own him. Nobody else does. He retired and he took the mascot with him. And he never sold it to anybody else. That's
okay,
when
so
they came out with the prior.
I guess like thank you very much for clearing that up. But here's a question. So why didn't he just hire somebody to be the next guy?
Because it's his legacy. He didn't want anybody else to do it and tarnish it.
Got it. Wait, am I wrong, though, about this sort of, you know, what the San Diego chicken was always like, kissing women and stuff like that? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, he'd do that. He'd kick dirt at the umpires. You know, he did everything. He was awesome when you'd see him. When I grew up watching him, he was amazing. He was probably one of the best acts out there.
Yeah, I know. It's world famous. I mean, at least U.S. famous. The San Diego chicken was awesome mascot. I always thought it was like a Richard Dawson thing where you look back on it all these years later, like, why was he kissing those people on the lips? Not the real guy, guys, just the mascot, not the real dude inside.
Yeah, I mean, he would do it to, like, the players and the umpires, too. He'd grab them and kiss them, too, and stuff
right.
like that for the mascot. So, and the whole KGB thing, it's because the radio station that we have out here that he used to come on to was 101.5 KGB.
Yeah,
that's how the KGB came up.
So then a Reddit thread mistook that and said he was some kind of Russian operative.
Yeah, but still has not been disproven. Hey, when's the last time he was actually in the stadium, though? Like, that was he didn't have many years there, right? Or am I misreading that?
He was there from, I want to say, the early 80s all the way until they opened up Petco Park. He was at Petco Park in like 2004, 2005.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Well, that's 20 years ago now. But Clint, this is great. Do you miss the San Diego Chicken at all the events?
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, because he had that hip surgery, I was hoping that he'd maybe make an appearance during the playoffs against the Dodgers, you know, beat L.A.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Also,
so I'd love to see a World Series for Peter Seidler. You know, that guy brought life back into San Diego.
That's sad. Clint, thank you so much, and thank you for clearing all that up. Clearly, my ignorance showing. But if I'm the guy who's inside the San Diego Chicken, right, if I'm doing that as the mascot, even if I've retired from, like, public life, if you will, I'm still doing weddings and, like, bar mitzvahs and stuff.
I'm sure
you guys, my social media is filled with mascots crashing weddings and people just loving it.
Oh,
I was
watching
one yesterday. The New York Islanders guy shows up. I mean, you probably get some decent money off of that, right?
Yeah, I've gone down a weird hole here. I'm looking at the Hall of Fame of mascots, and the top three are the Philly Fanatic, the San Diego Chicken, and the Suns Gorilla.
I mean, those are the three.
The Gorilla's got ups. I mean, I know he's got a trampoline, but still impressive.
There's some other on here. The Casey Wolf, Mr. Met. I think Mr. Met deserves it. He's pretty iconic. He's been around how long? Like,
I don't even know. Forever.
Around since me, probably, right? Like 30 years?
Do you put the Freeze guy into that? Does he make the list?
He seems really new. The Atlanta Braves, the guy who beats every one of the races. What about the Brewers? I know this is a sad day, but all the sausage race guys, they're pretty cool.
Oh, the Presidents in Washington.
Yeah. But are they a traditional mascot? There's a lot of college ones. Even the Orange makes it. the Otto the Orange for Syracuse.
Yeah, iconic.
I feel like a great debate is looming.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Greatest mascot. That is, do you go live like Ugga or the Texas like actual Longhorn?
I think it's got to be costumed mascot.
That is second great debate, most dangerous mascot.
Colorado Buffalo.
That Bird of Prey at Auburn, thing is no joke. That will don't have a small dog at an Auburn game.
Fluffy, no. This is next week's debate.
Definitely.
Leland's in San Francisco. Leland, you're Niners. What's the deal?
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. Nice to talk to you guys. There's a few deals going on with the 49ers, and I think that after four games, Brandon Ayuk, he's not earning his paycheck.
No.
You think?
Yeah. It would have been one thing if he would have, acted the way he did and held out and then, got his big contract and just killed it every single game. I just can't forgive him for those two drops versus the Jets. Even the one in the end zone, he dropped a TD. The year before...
You won that game by a lot.
Yeah. The year before in 2023, he had two drops the entire season. He's just not getting it. And, I think I called, earlier, and I was really upset about how they, traded away, Eric Armstead. And I get it. You got to get rid of high-priced players that don't produce. I'm calling it. They should trade Brandon Ayuk away.
Wait a minute. Leland, hold on. We got to back away slowly here, dude. Good to talk with you.
I'm 100% with Leland. Like, Brandon Ayuk is all of a sudden a detriment. And, like, he might round into shape, but he might not.
Wait, you guys don't think there's any part of this where all the other injuries on the offense are maybe letting defenses key in on him a little bit? No, I know the drops.
No.
You don't want the drops, but...
No, not at all. I feel like I'm watching Brock Purdy is bawling his heart out. He's running around like a madman in the pocket and throwing it right to him, and he better shape up. Otherwise, like, he is not long. I mean, I think Shanahan wants to run out on the field and murder him.
By the way, I don't even think you can trade a guy who just signed that extension. Is there some kind of...
Probably.
There's like a time limit. I think it'd be against the rules.
Definitely in the NBA. I don't know the NFL.
The NFL has that rule.
They're like, the Wild Wild West when it comes to the salary cap rule.
The NBA is like, here's $150 million. Now you can't be traded until four Thursdays from now.
Ayuk is the center figure of criticism there. I totally get it.
Coming up, we will get into more landing spots for Devontae Adams. Is San Francisco on the list?